Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to this evening's Score programme. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll be speaking to Joseph Duffy on his return to the UFC. He fights at Fight Island this coming Saturday night. Ryan Ferry will be taking a look at the big derbies in the regional leagues. Niall Callaghan on the resumption of the Ulster Senior League. We'll be getting the thoughts of Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan on the fixtures, which were released earlier in the week, and they now have Shamrock Rovers as their target to resume in the Premier Division. But first up, we're going to look at the situation with the COVID-19 restrictions. And following an announcement by the government yesterday, Donegal sport will be severely impacted in the coming weeks, with clubs hit by reduced gate revenue. Only 200 will be allowed to attend games up until the 10th of August, and not the 500 which would have come in under Phase 4. It's a blow for the likes of Finn Harps and indeed for local GAA clubs who have a championship starting in the coming weeks, and they will suffer financially. Fixture secretary with Donegal GAA is Ed Byrne, and he says it's not a good situation for the clubs.
No, certainly not. It's a blow to the spectators and to the clubs. Clubs would use a lot of championship gates for, you know, funding for the rest of the year, be it to run their underage, be it to meet levies, insurance costs, everything like that. You know, so it's very much the one thing that you depend on every year to help boost the coffers of the local club. With it limited to 200 people, which includes your players, officials, groundsmen, groundswomen, stewarding, officials that are there on the day, including umpires and referees, you're down to maybe 100 spectators, and then you have to split those between two clubs. So obviously, you know, let's just say 100 people paying in versus 300, 400, 500 paying in. It's a big blow to the finances of the local club.
Yeah, it's a huge blow, and I know it's only a day or so since the announcement, Ed, but I know the governing body at Croke Park are part of a group that's going to be helped out financially by the government. Is the county boards or the GAA now going to be approached wholly to try and get more money off this and help out the clubs, get it spread through the clubs?
Look, at the moment, I know Shane Ross, when he was finishing up in his final days there, he announced an aid package, I think, in around 80 million to the sporting organisations in the country to get them going again and to help rebuild. And I think it's important maybe that now Croke Park, if they can, speak to the new government and ask them when, as of last week, I don't think there was anything new. I don't think Croke Park or indeed the GAA as a whole had been advised of any measures that were in place as to how you can draw down on this package, and I presume it's the same for the other sporting organisations. What I would like to think is whatever we are to receive, that Croke Park would now, and those on our national management committee, I would like to think that they would certainly look at giving some sort of financial assistance to the local clubs and pay it directly into the clubs. I think we've gone beyond the stage now of trying to fundraise through our gates. We won't be able to do that at club level. We just simply won't. So if there is funding available from central government fundings, I would like to see it put into the local clubs. Of course you would. And again, Oisin, you're also going to need some of it at county level as well to keep them afloat, because the resources there will be very limited as well at the moment without any commercial income at all.
Yeah.
But certainly on that aid package, clubs have to be given priority.
Okay. Ed, in relation to the measures that were put in place, and we did fear that there might be a halt or a delay to it, are you maybe more worried now that this might continue longer than the period from the 10th of August?
Look, who knows if this, our figure keeps climbing, who knows where we could be in by the middle of August, even when we're set to go into round three of the championships. The announcement on the week of leading up to the 10th of August is going to be very big, and all we can do now is encourage people to continue to follow the guidelines and to be very aware that COVID-19 is still out there, and this is a blow. This will show that, you know, it hasn't gone away, and maybe we had become complacent. This will show that we need to be more alert. From a point of view of a club, and from being formerly a secretary in the club and knowing the way ticketing is, like at this stage, you're thinking, you know, how are the club officers, particularly the secretaries, going to manage this? And I would ask that all our members be just very patient with our club officers now, because they are in a no-win position. You'd think of an All-Ireland final there in 2014 or 2012, the demand for tickets. Not only were you looking for tickets in Donegal, you were trying everybody you knew everywhere around Ireland and outside of Ireland that would have a ticket to try and scramble to get more. That's not going to happen now. There's nobody else except your club going to get a limited number. And that may be only 30 tickets into a club, and you have Club Plus card holders who would have paid 200 for the intercounty card and the Club Plus card, and they'll be getting, they'd need to be taken into account. Club Donegal cards, we had to recall them at our management meeting. They have been recalled for this year because we couldn't have people turning up at gates and saying, I'm at Club Donegal, and being refused. Because there's already 200 there, so the option had to be to recall them. And that's a blow to clubs too, because that's also used for some financing for the clubs. You know, they get a percentage of those cards paid back to them to cover the loss that they'd have at the gates. So we are chatting here in local communities and local clubs. We are chatting losses. There's no other way of describing it. This will now lead to clubs coming under severe pressure. So we would ask people, you know, that we'll be hoping to get to the games, that there just may not be the tickets available. There may not be, and God forbid, but I was sitting thinking last night that maybe behind closed doors would have been a better option, because it would lead to less fallout. Because, believe me, there will be fallout over tickets, as we all know. But again, we're calling on people to be patient. Mm-hmm. We'll manage it, and clubs will manage it, because clubs are good at managing how things are done. Clubs are excellent. But it is going to be a very difficult period for club officers. It's like an All-Ireland every week, the scramble for tickets, and they will not be able to meet the demand. And, you know, that goes without saying.
Yeah, and there is other options available to clubs. Streaming is one of those. Ed, what's the latest in relation, or where? What can clubs do in relation to streaming?
Look, streaming, I suppose if you contact, John McAniff has sent out details on how clubs can stream games and who to contact, and that's Aidan Spence, be widely known, Donegal. Aidan would have come on board with myself when I was PRO, and then he worked with John and the stream team for Donegal GA. So there's a good bit of knowledge there about how you can go about streaming. The only thing to be very careful, and again, I know John will have contacted clubs and sent out guidelines. There is a broadcasting agreements in place between TG Cahir, RTE and the GAA and other bodies as well, and that limits when streaming can take place. We can't be putting up games that are in the same time frame as the broadcasting agreement time. So what we've looked at, I suppose, and what we'll look at in the coming days is we'll try and put in place where clubs can be placed outside of the streaming times in the first couple of rounds, and possibly then revert if we're still at a case of 200 for rounds 3 and 4, you would reverse the time so that it suits other clubs. And look, they can either do one or two things. They can have a subscription and you pay per game, and maybe a couple of clubs can come together on that one and organise payment. That's something you chat through. Aidan would be able to give advice on that. There is a monthly fee for streaming, but maybe there's a possibility of a few doing it together. And we'll stagger games as best we can, and then for round 3 and 4 we'll do the same again. Clubs that may wish to stream that couldn't in round 1 and 2, we'll give them the option, or we'll fix our fixtures accordingly, you know, should clubs highlight that they may wish to stream. But again, it's going back to the finances of clubs, you know, and we need to do everything that we can to keep our clubs going, because even the cost of insurance and the player injury scheme, the cost of running them, you are chatting thousands, you know, you're chatting thousands, and the money may not be there now that would normally be there. So it's going to be a very hard year on clubs, and the 200 supporters or 200 people allowed into games, including players, is a heavy blow.
Yeah. In relation to the fixtures, the championship games round 1 and 2, when will the times and dates be finalised for these, Ed?
We're working on them at the moment, Oisín. I suppose last night's announcement, and I know people are anxious to know the times and dates and everything, but one thing we decided as a CCC way back on the 10th of March, that we would take our time with everything. We would be waiting on announcements. So look, now that the announcement came yesterday on the number of spectators, we'll review what we currently had in place and we'll put them out. So they'll be out possibly within the next 24 to 36 hours. We'll have them out. But like that, and going forward, we will be waiting for announcements rather than sending out plans and then revisiting. We're not putting out our plan till we know exactly what's available to us, spectator-wise and to the clubs.
Okay. Finally, Ed, a charity event, The Cycle, coming up this coming Sunday. We've had Hugh McFadden already on this week on Highland telling us about what lies ahead for them this weekend. It's going to be a busy day, and it's all in aid of a very good cause. But the county boys are getting on the bike.
They are, yeah. I look forward to seeing some of them. I'll not name them on here, but I really look forward to seeing some of them on a bicycle. And they'll be passing just a couple of foot from the house here, and I look forward to having my water pistols ready on the wall. It's payback big time. And as you said, it's all in the good cause, so they can't say anything to me. So they have a GoFundMe page set up at Team Donegal for Team Livy. And look, it's an initiative that they came up with themselves during lockdown. They wanted to be doing something. They needed to plan for something because they didn't know anything on the return of games at that stage. And they decided that they would focus on the charity event. And I think they've picked a very worthwhile one. It is about giving a better life to a very young girl. And fair play to all of them involved, the backroom team, the team players themselves, and they're leaving and visiting all club areas. So most of the towns in Donegal, and we'd ask people to keep an eye out for them. We will be putting up on social media the times that they'll be in areas. And look, it'll be great for people to get out and give them a bit of support. This isn't about our county team. This is about providing, hopefully, a better life for a young girl. And if people can in any way make a contribution, as I said, the GoFundMe page is Team Donegal for Team Livy.
Okay. Ed, thanks for talking to us.
No bother. Thank you very much, Oisín. Take care.
fixture secretary of Donegal GAA, Ed Byrne, speaking to me earlier today. It's a blow, of course, for the clubs in Donegal on the GAA front. It's also a bit of a blow for Finn Harps, who are set to host their first home game of the season on the 4th of August. But Finn Harps secretary Cathy Taff isn't surprised by the developments this week.
I'm not really, Oisin. I mean, it's disappointing, yes, but on some level I think it's inevitable. You know, if you're tracking the public health figures and the replication rate of the virus, you know, the numbers are going up, and they appear to me to be at the same level as when we shut down first. And it was always the case that this phase was going to be the one that was going to tell the tale. So I think, you know, the bottom line is that public health takes precedence, and I think it's a wise thing to do. From our perspective, it's disappointing, and it's disappointing on lots of levels because, you know, we're going to be back to playing football at the end of July, beginning of August. Having fans there makes such a difference to the game, to the atmosphere, you know, to the whole experience. And, you know, we may be able to take 200 in. We're going to have to look at that. But what we understand is the 200 includes all of the essential match night personnel and our teams. And the other concern for us is that revenue is going to be tight this season, and, you know, the ability to be able to have fans back in the ground would have offset, you know, those concerns a wee bit. So all in all, it's disappointing, but it's not unexpected.
Yeah, I suppose it makes fundraising now more important when you're in a situation like that, that you're not allowed, because that extra 300 would make a huge difference.
It would. It would, you know, certainly to a club like Harps, it would. And yeah, fundraising is needed. I mean, we're back. We have our players back. You know, the expenses of running a Premier Division football club are there, and you know, will be for all of the season, despite not being able to open the gates. We're doing our upgrades with the dressing rooms, and thankfully our GoFundMe is doing very well. We're up at over 90% of our target of 30,000, which is fantastic. But, you know, it's going to be needed, all of it, and our 500 clubs continue to strengthen as well, which is good. So, you know, we would encourage anybody who is in a position to support us to maybe take a look at finharps.ie, and if they can support us by contributing to either one of those fundraisers that we have at the minute, and that would be brilliant, because they're the only sources of income right now. I know the FEI has made an offer to all clubs, all 19 clubs, so Premier and First Division clubs, but the difficulty with that offer is the majority of the money is going to come at the back end of the season. So, you know, when we'd have a boost in late October, early November, we have a lot of months to get through, and, you know, we're going to have to make what we have stretch as best we can, and that's a bit of a concern. But
yeah, it's a bit of a concern, and if this was to remain in place for the foreseeable future at 200, is there an option there that maybe money given to Finn Harps by the governing body can be increased, is there, Cathy?
Not that I'm aware. I mean, we'd have to go back and speak with the FEI and see what. It's a cash flow situation, where is what we're led to believe. So we'd have to go back and speak with them and see what is possible. But, I mean, at the moment, what's been lined out is what we have to work with. And, you know, the addition of supporters in the grounds and the ability to, you know, to take revenue at the gates again, and, you know, maybe have some of our match night fundraisers resurrected, were something that would have been of benefit. Now, they're not there at the moment. You know, hopefully after the 10th of August, things will improve again and we'll get back to that. So we'll be playing it as just, I wouldn't say a week at a time, but we'll certainly have to be given this particular attention. There's no question about that.
Finn Harps secretary, Cathy Taff. Let's now hear from Finn Harps boss, Ollie Horgan. The fixtures for the resumption of the Premier Division was announced earlier this week. They'll start on Saturday the 1st of August in Dublin against Shamrock Rovers, then at home to Shelburne the following Tuesday, and back in Dublin against St Pat's the following Friday. They've got four games in the first 9 days, five in the first 13 days, and Harps boss Ollie Horgan knows it's going to be tough.
Basically, we're 5 months out, and we play a fixture a day rather than be 5 months out, to put it that way to you. But when the fixtures came out last week, last Monday, it probably left a lot to be desired with you know, you've fixed, if you like, four games in the first 9 days or five games in the first 13 days. But we can't have it everywhere. Actually, we were complaining when we'd no football at all for 5 months. But probably a happy medium would have been a better, maybe a better solution.
Yeah. It's going to be tested on the squad, Ollie. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's that itself. But, you know, you're talking about maybe injury prevention, which is key to trying to keep the squad on the field over the season or over half a season as it is. And whatever about midweek games being staggered every second week, to have to play the first 2 weeks a midweek game in each, it's not fair on the players, to be blunt about it. But as I said, the other angle is, you know, we were complaining when we had no games at all in that manner. But it's been the longest off season ever in the history of the League of Ireland, in the fact that we haven't played since the start of March. You're talking about 5 months off, and then you're expecting them to go and play 4 games in 9 days. And unfortunately, we're expecting injuries no matter how well we monitor it. And it's not very, you know, it's not ideal. And I mean, I've spoken to the likes of Paul Hegarty, who's done recent coaching courses. I've done them in the past in years gone by. And basically a core theme of them is always injury prevention and proper preparation and recovery. And, you know, you have one side of Abbotstown and the coaching side of it that batter into you. You know, you've got to design a weekly schedule around a game a week or maybe the odd midweek game, and they fully are recovered. And then you have the other side across the hallway that are putting in 4 games in 9 days. Something isn't right there. But, look, so be it. You know, we can't always be complaining. We were complaining when we were 5 months off, Oisín, and now, while we've 5 games in the first 13 days, it's not ideal. Better that than no games at all.
Yeah. Some of the kickoff times, Ollie, that come out in the schedule are questionable as well. What do you feel?
Yeah, I understand why it's done. It's obviously done for the streaming, that you don't have 2 games being streamed at the one time, which would obviously reduce whatever income is going to be made or going to be bought for those. I think the early kickoffs midweek for a part-time side are probably the only out-and-out part-time side in the Premier Division at the moment. Shelburne might argue that case, to be fair to them. But to be penciled in, you know, a midweek game at 5:45 away from home and at home, it's something that we requested wouldn't take place. But look, we're never going to get it our own way, and we very seldom get it anywhere near what we want. And look, we probably have to suck it up and get on with it.
Yeah, just finally then, Ollie, what's training been like over the last couple of weeks since we last spoke?
Been difficult to get up and running. At least now it's up and running, and if everyone integrated, the lads from abroad, you know, they quarantined and are now in with the group, which is a huge plus because we need the group together. But it's been slow. It's been difficult having been out 5 months, and that's effectively what it will be come Tala on Saturday week, Oisín. But we're hoping it's the same for every side in it, that it's been maybe slow and difficult to integrate everyone and to get people back up to speed. And we've got basically, you know, 2 weeks on Saturday to get that right going, of all places up to Tala against Shamrock Rovers, who at the moment are the best team in the country. But so be it. It's great to be talking about that rather than, you know, not talking about football when it wasn't on for the 5 months, Oisín.
Van Harp's boss, Ollie Horgan. Well, staying on a soccer theme, and of course this weekend we see the resumption of intermediate and junior football in the Northwest. There's full fixture list down for decision in both the Saturday and Sunday divisions in the Donegal Junior League, with 5 games on Saturday between Division 1 and 2. And then in the top flight in the Premier on Sunday, Capri Rovers are taking on Cranford F. See, Capri, of course, second on the table. The leaders are Kilmacrenan and Celtic. They're away at Cagey Rovers, with the likes of Bunnaby United against Castlefin, Drumkeen against Kildrum, and Milford against Donegal Town. There's also a couple of games to be played as well in Division 1 and Division 2. And there's 2 matches in the Ulster Senior League. On Saturday, Fin Harps Reserves take on Bunnaby United. That one is at the Dry Arch Park. But there's a big tussle on Sunday. The leaders and defending champions, Coghill, up against second place Letterkenny Rovers. Secretary of the Ulster Senior League is Niall Callan, and he says the sides and the clubs and the players are very much eager to get back playing on the pitch.
No, I think so, Oisín. We're delighted to get back after being off for 4.5 months. And I think it's been a horrible time for everybody, and everybody's that's involved in soccer. I think we're all glad to be back at it again, and that's what we can't wait for this Saturday night and get the first game over and done with, and we'll see. I'll take it from there and see how it goes.
Yeah. Obviously, there's guidelines from the FEI. What have the Ulster Senior League had to put in place for the resumption on Saturday?
Yeah, well, listen, we're asking clubs to follow the return to training protocol and then obviously the return to playing protocol. So all we can do is that we hope that the clubs are adhering to that and try and enforce it as best we can. But obviously it's very difficult for clubs and it's something completely new and a lot of it is, you know, takes up a lot of time and, you know, outside of football. And we obviously have to do it and we'll be trying our very best just to ensure everything's 100%.
Yeah. What's the response been like from the clubs, Niall, ahead of the resumption?
I say it seems to be okay. Like, obviously, it was difficult. We were leaving our decision very late to whether to resume or not because, obviously, Oisín, we depend on Derry City Reserves and Clonherbert Reserves who use their under-19s and 17s in our league. Now, if it was a case where the League of Ireland under-19 and under-17 league would be running, you know, simultaneously to ourselves, we would find it difficult for Derry and Harps to play in it. So when we found out that the League of Ireland wouldn't be running to probably mid to the third week in August, we thought, right, we'll get our league started and get it over by then. So there's no overlap with regards to Derry City and Clonherbert. So that's why we left it so late and that's why we're squeezing into such a short space of time.
Yeah. Two games this weekend. The first is Saturday night, your own club hosting Clonherbert Reserves.
Yeah, that's the first one, 7 o'clock on Saturday night. Now, that's a Clonherbert home game, but it's reversed to Dry Irish Park, so we'll see how it goes. And I'm sure Clonherbert will be, you know, champing at the bit to get out again. And more than likely, Ollie will use a few of his French players on that team, so it'll be a tough game. It'll be a tough game from Bonagy point of view, but that'll be a good one to get it started.
Yeah, and there's another good one then penciled in for Sunday, a top of the table clash. Both sides going for the title. It's advantage the defending champions Carkhill, and they have home advantage on Sunday against Letterkenny Rovers. And everyone in soccer in the northwest will be keeping an eye on this one on Sunday afternoon.
Certainly, as you say, it's the top two, and you know it's a must win for Letterkenny Rovers. I think looking at the table last night, I think Carkhill needs, I think it's 10 points from the remaining 6 games. So Letterkenny must win that, and it'll be a very good game. In fairness, and they always are between Carkhill, Celtic, and Letterkenny. It's always good games, but as I say, it's Eamon McConaghy's man must take the 3 points up the road with them.
Yeah, in relation to the Northwest Intermediate Cup that was due to start this year, of course you were getting involved in a competition with your northern counterparts. What's the latest there? Where's it standing, and when will there be action, or will there be any action in the cup now?
Yeah, listen, our intention is to restart it again. Now, obviously, we're working close to our colleagues across the border. But now, listen, they're in the same position as ourselves. They had to cut the season short, obviously, in the lockdown. But our intention is maybe not see out the current competition that had started and unfortunately was cut short, but maybe starting a new season when our new season starts and theirs and start afresh again.
Yeah, and they're very willing and looking to do something to be part of something moving forward again.
Oh, definitely, yeah, definitely. They're in the same scenario as ourselves. The league has small numbers, and they're, you know, something fresh and something, you know, to be looking to be playing other teams, as opposed to playing the same teams week in, week out, and they're anxious to get it up and running again.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to kick the ball further down the line here, and you're looking to get the season done and dusted by the end of August. When will the next season get underway? When do you hope that you will have a date for that now?
Again, listen, we're working. We're going to be waiting on the under-19 and 17. When their fixtures come out, we're looking at when they will be finished. We don't want too much of an overlap. But like Harps and Derry are very much part of our league, and they want to be in our league. So we need to be working with them just to make sure that they can fill fixtures and you know, take part in our league. So we don't know yet when that will resume, but we're hoping to get it started back up as early as possible. But that's all down to League of Ireland fixtures coming out. And yeah. We don't know when that's going to happen.
Ulster Senior League Secretary Niall Callaghan. In the Gaelic Games world, competitive action also returns this weekend. It's the first weekend of the regional leagues. There's also championship for both men and women on the hurling front for the men on Sunday. In the senior championship, St Union's will play McCool's and Burt will take on Buncrana. There's also junior hurling championship matches to be played. When in ladies football, the standout games are in the senior championship with Niamh Connell against Buncrana and Termini against Mavull. Those games being played on a Sunday. But the action is scheduled to start on Friday nights, with the bulk of the regional games all taking place on Friday and Saturday. There is matches in the three sections in Division 1, plus there's games in Division 2 as well. I was joined this week by Ryan Ferry as he picked out a number of the big derbies, starting first at the Bridge on Friday night, St Michael's against Termin.
Great to have the games back and some tasty derbies just to get straight back into it. I suppose this is going to be a really good game because we've seen for the last couple of years St Michael's were probably fuller up in the rankings than Termin, but there's a lot of hype building around this young Termin team. You know, Washington, they had a great minor side last year, and a lot of these lads are stepping up. Now, it might take 4 or 5 years before they really fulfil their promise, but it's going to be an exciting time for the Termin club, seeing them come through. Probably, if we're being honest about it, St Michael's are probably on the other side of that, where, you know, they have a lot of experience, man, and, you know, maybe there's only so many more times those lads are going to be able to go to the well. So it could be the experience against the youthful exuberance this Friday night at the Bridge. But, you know, it should be a good game. There should be two evenly matched sides. I know there's talk that there's a few injuries in both camps, so maybe both teams won't be at full strength. And maybe you'll see that in most of the games anyway. But it should be a good contest. Yeah.
And you move to the south of the county, Ryan?
Yes, Oisín, and Division 1, Section B. I suppose the big game down there is in Towney, with Kerry Beggs travelling to face Kilcar. I suppose over the last couple of weeks there's been a lot of challenge games, and the big talk has been about Kerry Beggs, and as they beat Gwydor down in Maharagallan. They're a common team, Kerry Beggs, you know, the two very strong county players in Hugh McFadden and Owen Van Gallagher, and they've had a lot of players play at underage level for Donegal over the last couple of years, the likes of Ryan Cunningham, Jack McSharry, Seamus O'Byrne, and these fellas. And a bit like Termin, you know, they're a common team as well, and it's going to be interesting to see how they get on against Kilcar, because Kilcar are going to be one of the favourites for the Dr. Maguire Cup. You know, there's a lot of people fancying them. The competition is going to be played earlier in the year, which, you know, we're told it supposedly suits Kilcar, you know, but we're also going to be interested to see who is maybe not there for Kilcar. You know, there's talk of Conor McShane, their fullback, isn't coming back. There's mixed reports if Michael Higgerty will be there or not. So if those players aren't there, who's going to fill the void? So that could be a good, evenly matched team. Now, when the sides met in the senior championship last year, Kilcar were too strong for Kerry Beggs. But Kerry Beggs might fancy their chances of rattling them down in Towney on Saturday.
And there's two intriguing ties among the fixtures in Section C, Ryan.
Yeah, there definitely is. I suppose starting with McCool's against Glenfinn. Big derby, you know, around the Twin Towns, Glenfinn. A lot of people working down there, socialising about that area. So the two teams know each other very well. It's going to be interesting to see how McCool's go this year. Paul Rice is in there, a very experienced coach, a throwing man. It's going to be interesting to see what he brings to McCool's, because McCool's have some excellent young players. Obviously, we all know about Oisín Gallan, you know, and you also have Luke Gavigan and Chad McSorley and those fellas. So, you know, they are a team to watch, particularly in the senior championship, Oisín, because their first two games, you know, they're very, very much winnable. So, you know, McCool's are a team to keep an eye on over the next couple of months. Glenfinn under Mark McGinty, you know, they are a strong team. They've reached the quarterfinals of the senior championship last year, and put up a good show against Niamh Connell, who went on to win the Doctor, of course. So, you know, they've been looking to make a good impression as well, Glenfinn, this year. So, you know, there's usually not much between the sides when they clash. So, you know, it could be a feisty one in McCool Park, that. Talking about another big rivalry, Éireann and Bundoran, they're due to meet in Father Tierney Park. You know, those teams very, very close together, but they have played against each other on very, very few occasions over the last 15 years, really. You know, they seem to just, one of them was coming up the ranks and another was falling, and they just seem to bypass each other. I know they played a couple of years ago in an intermediate championship semi-final, and it was a very, very tight game. I think Bundoran won it narrowly. So, you know, that's going to be a good battle. I'm sure there's plenty of crack and banter down that part of the country over the last couple of days. And the two teams, you know, Bundoran will be thinking they can make an impression in the senior championship, Eirua desperate to get over the line in the intermediate championship. So both teams are going to want to hit the ground running, so I'm sure there'll be no hose barred down in Ballyshannon for that one as well.
Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News with the pick of the ties as the regional leagues get up and running this weekend. On to mixed martial arts, and Donegal's Joseph Duffy is back in the octagon on Saturday night. Duffy will be part of UFC Fight Night 173 in Abu Dhabi, and he's taking on Spain's Joe Alvarez, who has won 16 of his 18 fights. As for Irish Joe, he suffered defeat in his last two fights in the UFC, and he hasn't been involved with the promotion since March of last year. Well, I spoke to Joe earlier this week, and he knows that a victory is very much needed this weekend. Well, Joseph Duffy, you're back in the octagon this coming weekend on Fight Island in the United Arab Emirates. I would say you're very excited to get back because you've been waiting a while for this.
Yeah, 100%. Especially, you know, something so big with this Fight Island as well. So the whole week so far has been a pretty cool experience. So I'm very excited to get back.
Yeah, March 2019 was your last fight in the UFC. What have you been doing between now and then?
I've been on and off with injuries. I had a rib injury that just wouldn't pass. So it was hard to get any consistent training, and you know, but. And then in that time, I had a daughter as well. So just been kind of enjoying that and trying to get some consistent training in. And now I am, you know, I'm glad to get back.
Yeah, well, congratulations on the birth of your daughter.
Thanks very much.
You've now moved on to focusing on fighting once again, Joseph. Two defeats in your last two outings in the UFC. I'm sure that's something you're looking now to put to bed with a victory this weekend.
Oh, without a doubt. Just the last few performances, and you know, to my standard, has just been terrible. You know, like it's been nothing of the fighter I know I am. So
why was that? Do you think, Joseph?
I think it's a mixture of things. I think injuries, and I think I didn't have the same motivation. You know, like I was going into the fights, and for whatever reason, I just wasn't firing on all cylinders. I don't know whether it was overdoing it or what, but you know, I seem to have a different buzz about me this time, and I'm very excited to get in. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be a very different result on the weekend.
Yeah, tell us about your opponent, Joe Alvarez. How tough is he going to be?
That's it. I suppose at this level, there's no easy fight. He's won his last one. He's like a tall, rangy fighter. You know, a good record, 16-2. So, you know, I'm under no illusions. I got a tough opposition on the weekend, but I'm pretty confident I'll do the business. You know,
have you changed your approach or your style or added to your technical abilities and maybe refocusing on this one? Have you?
Yeah, well, I suppose in a way we had to refocus things a wee bit with the whole pandemic. So it was like a smaller group of lads training, and you know, I dictated a little bit more in my training this time. You know, and just worked on the areas I really felt I needed to. So you know, I got in contact with my old boxing trainer too. So I've been correcting some of the things, like some of the areas that I know has been an issue for me, and he's obviously been, you know, been on my case and making sure that I'm making sure that everything is getting better every session, you know, and not getting lazy with things. So that's been a great help.
Yeah. So what's it been like then around Fight Island this week? It's all different with the COVID-19 restrictions and scenario, and you're in a different time zone to Ireland, then you're in a different time zone again to Las Vegas, because I know you're going on Las Vegas time for the fight. So what's it been like since you landed out in quarantine and prepping for a fight with not too many people about, Joseph?
It's been quite strange, to tell you the truth, because I only got my wristband there last night, which means I'm allowed to leave the room. You know, you got to quarantine for 48 hours. So I only got that. And then so me and John, we went in to work out last night. But to tell you the truth, I wasn't even outside the hotel yet. I'm like you said, I'm on Vegas time, so I'll after the interview, I'll go back to sleep now, and then like I'll start my day around 5 p.m. and the time zone out here, you know. So yeah. It's been strange, you know, going to bed when the sun's out and then waking up when it's getting dark.
Yeah, and it's going to be strange, I suppose, in fight night as well, with no crowd there, because you've fought in big arenas with thousands in attendance. It's going to be a different story this weekend.
I'll have a different feel for sure. I suppose the only way we can kind of compare it to is maybe training, or even on the Ultimate Fighter. You know, there wasn't no crowds there, so you know, there are all experiences I can draw from and apply to the situation on the weekend.
Yeah. You, of course, Joe, previously were due to headline one of the UFC fight nights, and unfortunately due to injury, that didn't happen. This weekend you're on the prelim card. Is that where you want to get back to Joseph, being a headline fighter again?
Without a doubt. I think for any fighter, that's kind of your goal. You know, you want to be in the top 15 in the world, and you want to be headlining these events. That's what we train our whole life to do, really, is to, you know, be at the forefront of the sport and, you know, headline these big events, whether it be Vegas or Dublin or anywhere in the world.
Just finally then, we mentioned it earlier that you suffered two defeats. Is it imperative then, if you're to still be fighting in the UFC, that you won this weekend?
Without a doubt, you know, like the general thing in the UFC is normally three fights and you're gone, you know, three losses. So it's very important that I get the win. And just in general, just to get back, get the ball rolling again and really, you know, make a mark in the sport. I need to get a win this weekend.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed that you make your mark this weekend and get that victory that you're looking for, Joseph. Many thanks for talking to us. Maybe we'll speak again on Sunday, hopefully after the fight and after that victory that you hope to get.
Thanks very much, Arshin.
Joseph Duffy. And that's it from another Score programme for this week. If you missed any of the show, you can, of course, listen back in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. It will be available just after 8 tonight. I'll be back with our next sport tomorrow morning. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.